Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Boy, I love those words of Jesus that come right after the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And I think this is wonderful news of encouragement and a reminder for us as we live in this world. Because I think there are times when we can grow discouraged and we can maybe grow a little complacent sometimes. We can grow discouraged when we look around us and see some of the darkness. You know, I got a demographic study recently from an organization that did a little study of a 5-mile radius around our church, Faith Lutheran Church. And they had this spectrum of people that are religious in the community, and on the spectrum from very religious all the way down to very not religious, that's where we were. We were on the very not religious. There's a better way to say that, but you know, get what I'm saying. Well, that can be irreligious. Thank you. We can be discouraged by that. We had a guy come into Jay's restaurant as we were having a Bible study, and he was really frustrated because this man lives in Dallas, Oregon, and he said, you know, 10 years ago, we had this number of people in church, and 10 years later, the population of Dallas has increased, but it still seems like there's the same number of people in church. What's the deal? I think sometimes we can grow discouraged when we see the darkness around us, and we wonder, are we actually making a difference? Are we making a difference? We look around us, and we see some of the moral decay and the darkness, and we wonder, how could I, as this tiny little light, make such a big difference? And so I love the reminder that we have today from the Scriptures. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. As I said before, this comes right after the Beatitudes, right after those wonderful words of blessedness. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, etc. Telling us who we are. Blessed are you, ultimately because of what Jesus has done for you. And now Jesus describes what it means and what it looks like to be a disciple as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So let's take a look at that. First of all, that wonderful picture in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. You can find it at Burgerville on your fries. You can find it on your table at Jay's or at the Stardust or Cafe and the salt shaker. You can find it in your cabinet, and you can find it all kinds of places. Salt. You can find it in our idioms, not worth his salt. The word salary is from the Latin word salarium, which has to do with salt, and it has to do with the Roman soldiers who would receive their wages in salt because salt was a valuable thing, and so the soldiers would receive their salt, and a soldier that wasn't doing his job was said to not be worth his salt. Salt is a valuable thing, and salt makes a difference. It makes a difference. And in Jesus' time, salt was used for all kinds of things. In the Old Testament, we hear of salt being mixed with the sacrifices. If you wanted to give a nice gift to your friend, you might give them the gift of salt. There are multiple uses. And one of them, as is today, is that salt was used as a preservative. Before the days of high-tech refrigerators, well, how do you preserve your food? Well, one of the ways would be to salt it so that it doesn't go bad. And as a Civil War reenactor, I have tasted salt pork. It's maybe not the most tasty thing in the world, but salt pork, boy, you cook salt pork, right? You pour loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of salt on it, and then you can have it in your knapsack for quite a while without refrigeration. And it is sort of edible, too. So salt is used as a preservative. But we also know that salt adds flavor. Even if you're trying to be on a low-sodium diet, boy, I'll tell you, a little bit of salt on your food makes such a big difference in adding flavor. So salt makes a difference. It helps to preserve, and it adds flavor. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Pretty cool. Well, you see, we are in a culture, in a society that is in need of salt. If you look around, you turn on the news, you go on Facebook, you'll see a world that is in the midst of moral decay. Moral decay. Also in need of some flavor, too. In Romans chapter 1, we hear these sobering words about the people in this world, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And we look around in our society and we can see this. And truly, apart from Christ, this is who we would be also. But Paul points out in one of his letters, he gives this whole laundry list of sins. And he says, this is who you once were. But now you have been washed. Now you have been sanctified. Now we are in the world, but not of the world. And so as salt now, we get to make a difference in the world. But Jesus asked the question in Matthew 5:13. If salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So what happens when salt is not salty anymore? It's not very good for much, is it? Now the question we might ask is, how can salt lose its saltiness? Because if you know anything about chemistry and you have sodium chloride, it really can't lose its saltiness per se. But remember, in Jesus' time, they might have gathered some salt from the Dead Sea, and so you would have a mixture of sodium chloride along with some other impurities. And what could happen is, as water got into it, it could leach out the sodium chloride, rendering it pretty much effective, and then you'd scatter it on your driveway, you know, to add to your road, basically. So, and also, have you ever been in a restaurant and you've wanted some salt, and you've poured salt on your food, and you taste it, and you think, man, that didn't do anything. Because sometimes we get all these caking agents and all these additives in our salt, and it just becomes not very salty salt, ironically. Anyway, so he says, if salt has lost its taste, what good is it? So how might we, in essence, be like salt that has lost its taste? Well, when we start acting no different than the rest of the world. Are we acting the same way as the world? Are we applauding the jokes that are said on TV or laughing at them, even though they're making fun of God and the institutions of marriage? Are we angry in our speech? Do we have sarcastic and hateful comments that come into our conversations? Do you and me have a lifestyle, or do we have a behavior that if Jesus walked into your living room, you would be ashamed? It can happen, right? It can happen. When a church starts getting watered down and just goes along with whatever society says is acceptable, and we say truth doesn't matter, when we start saying that, you know, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it, when that starts happening, we're as if we're non-salty or unsalty salt. God forgive us for that. And that's why we turn again to the cross, right? It takes us back to the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know that they don't come with anything be in the presence of God, but rather rely on His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. And that's what we have as the people of God, called to repentance and renewal as we remember the cross and the empty tomb and who God has made us to be. And we are then reminded that we are, in fact, salt. I want to point that out. And this was also said in our Sunday school lesson this morning. It was well done, well done. And the Sunday school leader said, it's not as if Jesus is saying, try to be salt, but rather you are salt. This is a matter of your identity. And how can this be? Well, this is as God has transformed you and me, as God has worked in you and me. Notice our epistle lesson talks about the amazing things of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 2:16, I want you to hear these words. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. So who is at work in you? The Holy Spirit. Who has changed you? The Holy Spirit, which means now you are buried and raised with Christ in baptism. You have the mind of Christ, which means you are the salt of the earth. So how are we as Christians to be salt in society? What does that look like? Well, as we take a stand for the truth of the Word of God, as we speak in love and say, you know what? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As we take a stand and we say, you know what? The things in God's Word are true. God designed for us to have godly relationships between a man and a woman in marriage. As we take a stand and speak out for those who can't speak out for themselves, such as the unborn and the marginalized. As we train our children in the ways of the Lord, and this is such a great opportunity that we have. You may not have a lot of non-Christian friends at this time, just due to the circles that you're in. But you have the opportunity to influence your relatives, your children, and your grandchildren to speak the Word of God to them. To train the children up in the way of the Lord, that they would have the morality that comes from the Scriptures. That they would have in the forefront of their mind that Jesus is the Savior. There are opportunities to be salt and to have an influence on our society and also on our families. The future generations will then also have an influence on our society. You are the salt of the earth, and salt does make a difference. So we have this beautiful picture of you are the salt of the earth, and now I'd like to look at you are the light of the world, and that's another beautiful picture of who you are as the disciples of Jesus. You are the light of the world. As we talk with the kids, light makes such a big difference. When you're a kid and you've got a nightlight, yay, that's a good thing. Me and some friends, we were caving one time, and we decided to turn off our headlamps and just see what it was like. And in the depths of the cave, you could just feel the darkness almost. It was so dark, 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 dark. And then what happens when one little light was turned on? Made all the difference. Light makes a difference in a dark place, and we see the darkness of the world, and we might feel rather small and insignificant, but one little light can make such a huge difference. Remember that Jesus calls himself the light of the world. He says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And as I reminded the children, when we have our baptisms, we have that really neat tradition where we light that candle after the child is baptized and it is given to them, and we have the words, these words that are spoken. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ. Live always in the light of Christ. Matthew 5:14 and 15 says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. You know, we sang that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine. Well, so what's a bushel basket? Well, it's about a 2-gallon-sized basket. You can picture this person as they're putting this basket over the light. Well, that's stupid. The only time when you would want to hide light is when you're in the military and you've got enemies and you don't want them to see your light. Then you might hide that. But look, that's not what this is about. We're called to shine the light. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Now, it's possible that it was referring to the cities that were covered with white limestone so that in the sun, these cities would gleam with brilliance. You couldn't miss them. And we know what lights are for. That would be silly. If our power went out and I came and I had my light and somebody put a cloth over it, I'd be pretty upset. Hey, what are you doing? This is to light the way. And that's what we're called to do, is to share the light of Christ. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What I find interesting is that as we are called to be lights, God puts each and every one of you in the place where he wants you to shine. I think of the NFL football player, since it's Super Bowl Sunday today. And I want to tell you about Devin McCourty. Devin McCourty is a shining light in the NFL, a defensive back and kickoff returner for the New England Patriots. So if you're rooting for the Patriots, yay, go Devin McCourty. Devin McCourty, a Christian within the NFL, has an opportunity to be light where he is placed. He says these words, "Striving to be rooted in God's word and my Christian faith gives me a great foundation to lean on daily. Playing in the NFL or in the Super Bowl shouldn't define a person. I don't really think anything in this game we do defines who we are as people. It's a blessing. It's a great opportunity to take advantage of the opportunity, but still know who you are as a person." And he knows who he is as a follower of Jesus Christ. And imagine the opportunities that he has in the locker room, before games, to share the love and the message of Jesus Christ right there among these multi-million dollar athletes. And there he is, able to be a shining light. Now, where has God placed you to be salt and light? It may not be in the Super Bowl. It may not be as a professional athlete. It may not be one of those people that you read about in the amazing biographies of Christians. But where has he placed you? Daryl Jones, a former NFL player, was speaking to a group of kids, and he gave them this reminder. Daryl Jones, former NFL player for the Giants, the Bears, and the Vikings, he said this, "Don't ever feel insignificant. Never feel like you don't have a place in life." And he was pointing out that Christians are strategically placed by God to shine light. That may be as a student. Maybe it's a student at the middle school, or high school, or college, in your workplace, at home. There are many places that God would allow you to be so that you would shine the light of Christ. And what a privilege we have to do those good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Matthew 5:16, again, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Ultimately, as you and I live out who we are in Christ Jesus, God will use us to make a difference. You may feel insignificant, but remember that your God is not insignificant. And if God is in you, if we truly believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts, that we have the mind of Christ, then where God has placed you is not insignificant. But remember this, that as salt and light, God will use you to make a difference. May we be faithful that ultimately it would be to the praise and glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.